We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Good morning. That is Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. The draft begins tonight after months of speculation. We'll finally find out who the newest Packer or Packers that could shake it up tonight will be. We'll find that out. We've got a ton of guests for you. We're going to break it down. We're going to cover it from every angle, and then everything we think will not happen tonight. The Brewers fall last night. We'll get into that one. And the Bucks schedule is released. Forgive me. I'm frantically trying to figure out over here as you do the update to start the show. I went to bed quite early last night, and I was talking to my grandmother, who is a big Golden State fan, and she says, I got to stay up for this game. I said, Grandma, just go to bed tonight. Don't even worry. It's game five. They got the freebie. They got the money. They'll win the series, no problem. I'm trying to figure out how Golden State lost last night.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I think your team there, the Warriors, have lost a little of their mojo. When I say that, are they bored together? I mean, has KD got a 1 foot out the door? I mean, he played great last night, but it just seems like the Clippers, they were the aggressors last night. They're the team that, I mean, Lou Williams, you know, Beverly, I thought, was very, very active. And I was surprised. I mean, that was a high-scoring first quarter. And to close out that game, man, Lou Williams was awesome. And I'm surprised Golden State got, I thought for sure Golden State was going to clinch that series and win it last night. Did not see that coming. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. And now the series moves back to Los Angeles for game six. Man, first round and Golden State, where the rest of these series, Bart, are, you know, been over in four or five games, this one plays on.
And I think every franchise, when you go up 3-1, you just think, okay, we're going to seal this thing. But for Golden State, there are some jitters there because of when the Cavs came back and beat them in the finals a few years ago. So they did go up 3-1 in the series. The Clippers win last night. The other series that was going on last night is final. The Rockets topped the Jazz. So all the first-round series are set but two. Golden State, L.A. Clippers, they've still got to finish that one out. And then we have Denver and the Spurs tonight. Denver lead that 3-2. More importantly, we know when the Bucks will play finally, and it's going to be Sunday at noon. It'll be nationally televised on ABC. The rest of the games on this series to be either on TNT or ESPN. It's going to take 2.5 weeks to play 7 games if necessary. But Sunday at noon, again, I wanted like Saturday so we could get, I want the drunk, not only do I like to have a beer or two during a game, I want the drunk crowd to be at Fiserv. I want a Friday night, Saturday crowd. I don't want a Sunday morning still waking up hungover crowd.
Yeah, that crowd's got to be after it right away on Sunday at noon, man. Hopefully they'll get after it right away. In years gone by when the Bucks have had a noon start on Sunday, the crowd has still been in it. But, I would have liked a nice little 4 o'clock start on Saturday.
Yeah, that would have been nice, or a Saturday night game would have been nice. I'm sure the Deer District area would rather have a, you know, Saturday so they can get more customers throughout the day. Sunday, though, you can do a little kegs and eggs special and see what happens.
Yeah.
Sunday at noon.
I'm glad it is. I mean, if it's not going to be Saturday, I'm glad noon, get it done with. You know, not a nighttime start. Let's get this thing going on Sunday at noon. Now, here's the deal. I mean, it's Sunday and then Tuesday and then a week from tomorrow is game three. They really spread this series out again. And then they got to stay. They play Friday night in Boston a week from tomorrow. Bart, they play Friday night in Boston, and then they won't play again until Monday. Because usually it's like a Friday, Sunday, but they won't play again until Monday. So they spend the whole weekend in Boston without playing until Monday.
Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday. There's no Saturday games in the series. Mm-hmm. Couple of Friday night games. Those are both in Boston. So I'm telling you, there's something to the drunk crowd. They got the weekend crowd. Not that you can't show out at Fiserv on a Tuesday night. I just hope that, you know.
But if we need some alcohol to get excited about the Bucks and Celtics in game two, that crowd should be ready to go, on Sunday night.
I know. Not everybody goes drunk. I know.
We're in the second round of the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. There is no doubt in my mind that crowd is ready to go on Sunday. They don't need alcohol. They don't need any juice. There should be plenty of energy in that building with Boston coming to town.
Naturally, what is a louder crowd? A noon Sunday Milwaukee crowd or a Friday night Boston crowd?
Of course.
Probably the Friday night.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, that crowd will be fine on Sunday. It'll be great. And the crowd's going to play a part in this. This is a home court advantage. This is what they worked the entire season for. And to eventually, if it has to go to a game seven back here. I'm just glad the schedule is finally out. Toronto and Philadelphia, I didn't see a game time. That's going to be Saturday, right?
I think that's Saturday night on TNT.
Saturday night? Okay, I didn't see a game time, but I thought it was going to be Saturday.
Yeah, because the one thing I did see, and I can look up the schedule quick, but the one thing I did see was people were complaining that Toronto got a primetime game and Toronto-Philly's the primetime and shouldn't it be Bucks-Boston?
But you know what, though? This game is going to be on ABC on Sunday. Noon on Sunday is still that used to be considered the primetime. I don't know if it is now anymore, but still, Sunday afternoon at noon on ABC, that still, I think, is a good time slot. I don't think the Bucks got buried at all. So, you know, they're going to be on a national TV, on network TV. Mike Breen and company will be doing the game. So this will be good. I would think Mike Breen's doing this game.
I would think so.
Unless the Clippers and Golden State are going to a game seven on Sunday.
Then he'd probably do that. That could be at 2:30. Saturday, I thought I saw night. It doesn't. The schedule I'm looking at right here doesn't have that locked in for Toronto and Philly, but I think it will be a night game. And that depends on if tonight's series goes seven as well between the Spurs and the Nuggets. Basketball is interesting because, you know, Sunday at noon, that's the normal standard kickoff in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And the Brewers this weekend play Sunday around noon, and they play a lot at 1 o'clock, especially at home or if they're in their division. Basketball, it's different. I mean, it's not just different for us. It's different for the team. They don't play a lot of day games. Sure, they've played a couple throughout the year, but I was reading that article that Malika Andrews did on Giannis, and he's got a very, strict routine. He practices in the morning. He goes home, takes a nap, says he needs that nap, comes back, and plays the game. So I wonder how much this is going to tilt the schedule for these guys. Boston, of course, will fly in probably Saturday, get some rest, and then go play Sunday. But will you see a sluggish maybe first or second quarter to the series? The intensity is going to be there in the crowd, and you know there's going to be some nerves and a feeling out process. I wonder if that first quarter is not a little sloppy.
Yeah, with it being the second round of the playoffs, I think they'll be fine. You know, the last time they played a Sunday early start, didn't they play one on Super Bowl Sunday again at Atlanta? Wasn't that an early start? They lost out there. Giannis might have said that game.
Yeah, they've played some road games. They played the Knicks early. They had a game Saturday afternoon against the team here.
Yeah, that was like a later afternoon start.
The Martin Luther King Day game was a day game about 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, yeah.
So it's not like they're nocturnal. You know, it's not like they're rabid bats.
Yeah,
they know how to function during the day. It's just
sure.
It's different.
You know, the old school of me, all the playoff games every Sunday it would be like a noon. And then a 2:30. They never played Sunday night games. It would be like a noon and 2:30 start both games. So they'd always play noon playoff games at the old arena when back in that 70s and 80s run. So this is kind of old school for me with the Bucks and Celtics on a noon start on a Sunday afternoon. And it's I can't wait, man. I'm telling you, I'm fired up for the game. I just we got a long way to go between now and then.
You've got conflict Sunday. You've got Bucks and Brewers at the same time. Then they play Tuesday. Both games in Milwaukee. The Rockies will be here next week. Bucks and Brewers at the same time.
How about that? Yeah, the Rockies will be in town on Tuesday. I remember 2 years ago on draft night, the Bucks played Game 6 against Toronto on the night of the first-round draft. The Bucks played Toronto in Game 6. That's where the Bucks came back from that 25-point deficit and ended up losing. I think the Brewers also played that night, so that was a big day in sports here in the state.
Yeah, I'm glad that it's just draft tonight. I'm glad that there's no Bucks game tonight.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's no Brewer game tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm glad we can just look at the draft. Next weekend, they play Friday. They do not play Saturday, so those of you with your Derby parties, your Kentucky Derby parties, you're good to go. They do not play on Cinco de Mayo, so you're fine there. I'm just trying to look at some of these conflicts coming up. But yeah, if it goes seven, Game 7 doesn't get played until Monday, May 13th.
I mean, if it goes all the way the Eastern Conference Finals, last time we were in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Bucks were playing on Memorial Day at the Bradley Center, and they were playing the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, because I remember it was a beautiful weekend, but it was like 75, 80 degrees, going inside to watch playoff basketball on Memorial Day weekend, and that could be the case here. I mean, we've seen teams, other teams play in the playoffs Memorial Day weekend. That'll be us. That's the price we pay for having a good team.
Yeah, I was talking with a buddy yesterday. They always plan a Brewers trip in May, like the second or first weekend in May, just depending on the schedule. And he was hoping that the Bucks didn't play that day, and they don't. There's no conflict there for him and his bus trip. But I've never really had this problem in 18 years to worry about a May Brewers trip and then what time the Bucks are going to play. So it is a little foreign to a lot of us, at least for the last two decades. But this series does start Sunday at noon, ABC, Bucks, Boston. Steve Ashburner is going to join us at 9 o'clock today. We'll get more of a preview on this one. We'll talk some Bucks throughout the day. We're going to do the Brew Crew review next. We're going to do a lot of draft stuff today. A lot of good guests coming by. We'll hear from Aaron Nagler this hour. Michael Cohen's going to stop by at 7:20, our insider from The Athletic. Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, we're going to talk to. So just a ton of different people that we're going to have on the show today to talk NFL draft. So it should be exciting as we try to figure out what exactly the Packers do want to do at 12. But next, we're going to look at the Brewers. Christian Yelich does play a role in yesterday's loss, although an interesting decision on when he played a role. We'll have your Brew Crew review coming up next. As again, yes, the Brewers lose. They get swept by the Cardinals. It is early. If you're up and at them, hungry already, get the Perkins today. They've got a lot of good strawberry-infused items on that menu. The fresh strawberry croissant French toast, the fresh strawberry buttermilk pancake platters. Strawberries aren't just for breakfast. You go a little later, get that fresh strawberry salad with the smoked pulled chicken, the fresh strawberries, the glazed walnuts, and the feta cheese on crisp garden greens. All available at Perkins, all available today, the naturally sweet way to start your day. Remember, Saturday kids eat free after 4. You can go this weekend. No basketball conflict. You can go this weekend, take the family out. You get a meal. Your kid gets a free kids meal when you order yours. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. That ninth inning got a little interesting yesterday, but the Brewers again lose. We'll have the recap next here on The Fan.
Coming up. Here it comes. With a strikeout, as the Cardinals sweep the series.
If you put him up in the tying situation, I felt like we were just counting on a home run there, and then Hicks has got some good matchups, so this way, I thought one of our other guys had to do the job, and Ben Gamble did the job, and I thought that gave us a really legitimate shot.
Ninth inning yesterday, Brewers down 3. Ben Gamble walks, so the bases are loaded. Now, you could have put Christian Yelich in at that spot. Christian Yelich had the day off yesterday, but he would have come in if there was a tying run at the plate situation. And that's what happened. But they went with Ben Gamble. He got on base, so that part worked out. So Christian Yelich comes in. You've got your big bopper, the MVP, your best player up, bases loaded against the Cardinals closer, Jordan Hicks. And Christian Yelich, just a little too much on a swing. He did go around, and that was the final. Brewers lose again yesterday by the score of 5-2. So the Cardinals had their way with Milwaukee in this series, sweeping them. The Brewers have now lost 7 of their last 8.
And at the 500 mark.
Yeah.
500 mark, I think, for the first time
down to
this 13 year.
13 and 13.
At one time, they were 8-2. And now, you know, 11 of their last 16 they've lost. Yelich did not get a hit in the series. After owning the Cardinals back in the previous two series at Miller Park. But, yeah, I mean, that's Thames. I was talking about Thames, man. He was the. Did you win some money on the DraftKings last night on that?
No, I didn't. We set a lineup with some of the Brewers.
Yeah.
And Thames was a good play.
Yeah.
You were right. That was a very good play for you. But the rest of the plays were bad.
Even Chacin?
Chacin was the worst play.
Yeah.
That was a big-time mistake. So,
well, he gave up, he only gave 4 hits. No, 5 hits, but the 2 home runs killed him.
He only got me 9 points, which for a pitcher, you need like 30 or 40.
Oh, jeez.
Thames had a really good day. Everyone else we took Shaw. He didn't do anything. We took Ben Gamel.
All right. But, boy, getting swept.
Maybe tomorrow.
Getting swept in St. Louis. I know you took 3 of 4 from them earlier this year and then 2 and 3 in the other series, but they kind of paid... Kind of pay the Brewers back in this series right here.
Well, here's how it looks right now in the NL Central. The Cardinals are in first because of this series. You know, a nice home sweep for them. They're 15-9. They're on top in the NL Central. The Pirates are 2 back. The Cubs are 2 back. Both of those teams 12-10. Brewers at the even 13s. They're 3 behind. And the Reds are 5.5 back. Now, I saw some of the highlights of the Cubs-Dodgers game yesterday. Cubs do win. Javi Baez hits this home run, and, you know, he kind of stares it down a little bit. But they show the crowd, and you can hear it, and it, I mean, it looked like a playoff game last night there at Wrigley.
Yeah.
God, I mean, this is the importance of these early season games, okay? This is why I don't think we can say it's April. Because unlike the Bucks, where if somebody got all bent out of shape because the Bucks lost an early game, okay, but we know they have enough talent. They will win their division. They will be a top 4 seed. They could be a top 2 seed. They could be a top 1 seed. It'll be fine, and that's what happened. With the Brewers, they've got enough talent to win this division. That I think we can agree on. But so do 2 other teams, and then the Pirates and the Reds are going to be pesky at the very minimum. So if you're the Brewers, yeah, you can try to act cool and not freak out if you're, you know, Brewers fan, but... These other 2 teams, I mean, they want it too. And the Cardinals, that's a big sweep for them. The Cubs have rebounded after a really dreadful start. These games matter. I know you like to act cool and think nothing matters until Labor Day. These games matter, man, and the Brewers are losing them right now.
Yeah, they certainly do. I mean, the NBA playoffs, 8 teams from each conference make the playoffs. If the Bucks somehow would have slipped to the 2nd or 3rd seed, Bart, they would have been fine. They would have had 1 less home game. But, like in this, you know, you got the 2 wild card teams and the 3 division titles. I mean, the Brewers could end up, I mean, look at Tampa last year. Won 90 games in the American League, missed the playoffs. The Cubs, they couldn't get by the wild card. They couldn't even get in last year. They couldn't get into the postseason. I mean, they basically couldn't get in. They got into that that 1-game series with Colorado after losing to the Brewers, and they lost at home again, and they couldn't even make it to the next round. So, it's you need to have these wins. And falling 3 games behind at this point, yeah. I mean, people always say it's early and all that, but you don't want 3 games to turn into 6 games.
Steven tweets in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'll sum up all the Brewers coverage you guys need today. They suck. That's it. Move on. Let's talk about the draft and the Bucks.
Oh,
no need to mention the Brewers.
They suck. Okay, did they say they sucked when they were 8-2? They don't suck. They're going through a bad stretch. I mean, saying the team sucks, that would be projecting these guys to have 67 wins. Now, if they have 67 wins, we're in trouble.
They've sucked in their last 8 games.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Saturday night they played well and, you know, winning 5-0. But other than that, offense continues to be a problem for these guys. The starting pitching, you know, I saw somewhere where most of their runs in the last week have come by the home run ball. There hasn't been in many, you know, ground out sacrifice flies that have scored runs, base hits, doubles. It's been mostly the home run ball in the last week.
No, we had a stat from a listener, Wayne, yesterday. I think that they win five games in a row where they only scored via the long ball.
Yeah.
And they could have made it six yesterday until that walk in the ninth inning. So all they're doing to score is hitting home runs, but they are not even hitting a lot of home runs or getting a lot of runs. The Brewers have been very poor offensively, as you mentioned. Over this little streak here, the last eight games in which they have one win, let's see, we got three runs, one run. Again, this is the vaunted offense that they were building around. The pitching staff can be fine because the offense is going to be so good. That's what we were led to believe. And in the last eight games, they're averaging 3 1/3 runs per game. I mean, that's not going to win you a lot of baseball games.
No. And they go out and get Gio Gonzalez. I think that's a nice addition. But clearly they're saving themselves some money by not going out and feeding more money to Dallas Keuchel. They're going to settle for Gonzalez, who, again, yeah, he pitched very well last year. But that's, I think they made the decision that they're not going to go after Keuchel.
Well, the Keuchel and even Kimbrel stuff, I think the Brewers are at a point where they're willing to give them a lot of money. Like, they'll give them a lot of money. They just don't want to lock him in for more than a year.
Yeah.
And maybe stretch it to two. But if Keuchel wants $25 million for a year, I think the Brewers would be much more inclined to give him that and find the money for that than they would 3 years, 60. They just don't want to lock him in for that long. They want to help the team now, but it would have to be on the Brewers' terms. I think based on the Grandal and Moustakas and what I'm hearing about the agents for Kimbrel and Keuchel, they're all on board. The Brewers are bringing these guys in. They've talked to them a bunch. They just don't want to have a multi-year commitment.
Yeah, it sounds like Keuchel's willing to accept a one-year deal these days, one of those one-year prove-it deals. But I think 25 is a little much.
I know. I'm just throwing out an arbitrary number.
Yeah, maybe 15, maybe.
15.
But, if he's going to settle for a one-year deal, no takers just yet.
And if he's going to settle for a one-year deal, it's not going to be like 1 year five. I think if he's going to settle for a 1 year, he's going to want more money, just like with Grandal. He was getting offered multi-year deals where he could make 13, 14. He took a one-year deal because he could make 18 is the most money he could make for this year. So that's the one that he ended up taking. And here he is with the Brewers. Gio's going to be brought in, left-handed starter. The goal is for him to eat some innings. We'll see where they slot him. It's only going to cost the Brewers about $2 million, I think. So that shouldn't be too much. There's other teams looking, whoa, why didn't we pay him that then? But Gio, he had like 9 offers. And, you know, he's familiar with the Brewers, and he enjoyed being here. We both talked to him about that, and so he's going to come back and do that. So that'll be some reinforcements. Gio Gonzalez isn't enough to completely change a team that's won one game in their last eight, but it certainly won't hurt. So Gio Gonzalez expected to join the Brewers this weekend against the Mets. Now, they'll play a different opponent here. The last 2 weeks, all we've seen is the Dodgers and the Cardinals. We saw the Angels before that, the Reds and the Cubs. This schedule, you hear a lot about the schedule. How much do you think the schedule, these teams, have factored into the Brewers' 13-13 start? Because there's people that will say, yeah, they're 13-13, but the schedule.
Yeah, but still, tough teams. The Brewers, we'd like to think, are one of the better teams, at least going into the season, in the National League. So that would tell me, well, maybe they're not one of the better teams. If the schedule's tough, but the Brewers are a tough team, yet they only went 13-13 in that stretch, man. But I think they're going to be all right. You know, they got to go to New York again. New York, they got to play the Mets. They got to play the Mets next week. They got to play Colorado, who was a playoff team last year. Starting to get together a little bit, they are.
There's no reprieve on the schedule.
I don't think
Mets,
there is.
Rockies, Mets.
Yeah.
Nationals. 3 in Chicago to take on the Cubs. Oh, then you got to go to Philly for 4. Oh, then you got to go to Atlanta for 3.
Yeah, it's the tough
Reds, Phillies, Twins.
It's not a tough stretch. I mean, it's a tough schedule, period. When's the next time they play a team that's not a contender? The Reds, May 21st?
I guess you can say the Reds, but the Reds, I mean, the Reds are competitive against Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
The Twins are trying to do some stuff over there.
They, like you said, the Phillies, they play the Phillies in two series.
The Pirates?
The Pirates? Man.
Your next break is against the Marlins, a three-game series at home on June 4th.
Yeah, so I guess there is no tough stretch. They're all tough.
Then you've got Pittsburgh, Houston, the Giants, the Padres, a West Coast trip. We always suck on those.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Reds, the Mariners, the Pirates, the Reds, the Pirates. Yeah, there's no reprieve here on the schedule.
Back to Gonzalez.
These are the major leagues.
Back to Gonzalez. All right. If he pitches well in the rotation, who gets bumped? If Burns pitches well down, you know, gets it together.
Freddie should be back next week.
But if he gets it back together, Burns does. If he puts it together at AAA, and he comes back, okay, because you like to think he's not going to spend the whole summer down there. He comes back. Who's going to get bumped from the rotation? That'd be really interesting, because if Gio comes up here and pitches well, he's locked in. They didn't sign him just to add him to the bullpen. They signed him to make some starts here.
Yeah, and he needs to eat some of these innings back up that the Brewers have been able to do out of their starters.
Brewers will have an interesting decision to make as to, you know, does he replace one of those young guys in the rotation, and does maybe one of those guys, like a Burns or somebody, go back to the bullpen?
Let's talk some NFL draft first. Let's get Mike here in Pewaukee, 799-1250. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Bart and Chuck. Hey, long-time caller, first-time listener. I know that's lame. I don't know. It's early.
No. If you're going to tell a joke like that, you've got to have the confidence to tell it.
And boy, my head is still spinning. I just figured it out.
But then you went back on it right away, so we're going to give you a hearty applause. I'm in for it. I like it. I'm on board. What's up?
Do I get any foreigner with that?
Are you a first-time caller?
No.
No, he said he's a first-time listener, long-time caller. Long-time
you know
caller.
What? Sure. It feels like
the first time. And since you're out in Pewaukee and you want to talk about the draft, Q Club of Waukesha the boys will be tonight at 6 o'clock.
I want to talk about the Brewers. You know what, guys? I'll try to make this short because I know you're going into a break. But what happened to the Brewers last year was great. It was awesome. And I don't think it was by chance. But, you know, the thing that really gets into my craw is all of last year and this year, we're seeing it now more this year than last year. They need frontline starting pitchers. They need pitchers that can go deeper into games, not the fourth, fifth, and sixth inning. And Mark Atanasio, and I said this last year and I took some flack for it, he needs to get at least one more, if not two more, frontline pitchers. And they don't need to be aces. We don't need to break the bank. But this team is not – look, they didn't do it last year with the bullpen. They almost did it. But what makes anybody think, including the brass at the Brewers, think that this whole thing with the bullpen is going to work better than it did last year, this year? I think that's a pipe dream, man. They need to get starting pitching, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
And bullpens are different year to year. I mean, last year, best bullpen in baseball this year. Don't have some of the same arms because of various reasons, and, you know, it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle. The bats haven't been able to overcome them because some of those guys have just been terrible at the plate.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Good stuff. 799-1250. We're going to talk some NFL draft. Aaron Nagler stopping by, cheeseheadtv.com. They'll have a watch party tonight. Michael Cohen, 720 with The Athletic. We haven't chatted with Michael in a while. We'll get him back on the airwaves today, 720.
Yeah, we'll see. The interesting night for the Packers because, you know, they covered up some of the holes that they had in this roster through free agency, and that gives them some options for tonight.
We'll talk with Aaron again. A lot of speculation about a quarterback. If there's any meat to that bone, we'll have that coming up next. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. I had that tweet here from Steven, who said, no more Brewers, draft, and Bucks the rest of the day. Okay, I think we can do that for you the rest of the day. A lot of good draft guests coming up. Michael Cohen, 720 from The Athletic. We'll talk to Mike Renner, our friend at Pro Football Focus, at 8 o'clock. Going to jump on the Great Midwest Bank hotline, talk with Aaron Nagler, cheeseheadtv.com. A lot of rumors about what the Packers could be doing here, especially with that first pick at 12 and even at 8:30 as we bring in Aaron Nagler on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
I don't think the Packers are at all serious about drafting a quarterback. I think somehow everybody's excited because they brought a quarterback in. I think they brought the quarterback in to take a look to see what they might like in the future with a quarterback. But I don't think they're serious about drafting a quarterback early.
Yeah, I mean, you never really know, obviously. Only man, you know, who can say with any kind of definity is Mr. Gutekunst himself. But, I mean, you know, yes, it feels a year too early to be pulling that trigger. But you do never know. And I know they brought in Drew Lock, and it's funny because last year when I spoke to Gutekunst at the Combine, he made a joke that back in the day he had brought in some quarterbacks at the Combine that they had appeared at the Combine, and Ted got mad because Ted always used those pre-draft visits for, like, undrafted types. You know, and I think Gutekunst is true to his word when he says, you know, he just wants the most information possible. It could have been a medical thing they wanted to look at, you know. And like you just said, it's not just about who they might draft. It's also information gathering for down the road. If, mm-hmm. you know, any of these players become free agents, which you got to assume many will, they're going to have, their homework done, so to speak, 4 years down the road. So I know a lot gets made, especially when quarterbacks come into town pre-draft. But I think more than anything, it's just, you know, due diligence and making sure they've got all their homework done.
Talking with Aaron Nagler, CheeseheadTV.com, there was a video with Andrew Brandt on a podcast recently. He was talking about when the Packers did draft Rodgers and they had Favre, and Rodgers fell to them at 24, and they knew they had to, but they didn't want to, so they were letting the phone maybe ring, and nobody called with an offer, and they took Rodgers. It felt early then, but it would feel more early now. As much as you do always want to think about the future, I think what it would signal to me if the Packers took a quarterback at 12 or 30, and I don't mind them taking one later, but you made the splash in the free agency. You got a new coach. You got a new quarterback. You've got guys on your – or, you got Rodgers. You've got guys on your team that you like. If you take a quarterback in round one, it seems to me like you're punting 2019.
Yes and no. I mean, it's nice that you got two first-round picks, right? I mean, it's not necessarily that you're punting on the season. You're looking long-term. And look, Brian Gutekunst wants what every first-term general manager wants, and that's a contract extension. You know, he's got a five-year deal. He's a year into it. You know, a succession plan and life after Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that's his job. That is, number one, his gig. No one else in that building is more responsible for what's going to happen next at the quarterback spot than Brian Gutekunst. So if there's a guy in the draft that he absolutely 1,000,000,000% loves and thinks is a difference maker and a franchise signal caller for the next decade, I mean, and he feels that strongly about it, then he should absolutely take him, regardless of is it a year too early or not. You remember the John Madden used to say it on TV all the time, and I say it all the time on Twitter and in life. The worst time to look for a quarterback is when you need one. It's been proven time and time again. I think Denver's living out that nightmare scenario since, you know, Peyton Manning left. And you could go through the entire league with teams that, you know, you're desperate for a quarterback, and you make all sorts of mistakes and throw good money after bad trying to figure out that position when you don't have a quarterback. The time to find one is when you got one.
You know, if they're going to draft a tight end, you know, you almost think, okay, there's a tight end worth drafting in the first round. But, I mean, I guess if you found the next Kelsey or a next Gronk, that might be good. Could this Hockenson be anything, you think, that might fit that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the personnel people will have worked all this up, and they're going to make their determinations as far as if he is one of those upper echelon type players. I mean, to me, he has that kind of potential. Mm-hmm. He's the most well-rounded tight end in the draft. I mean, that's been covered ad nauseum. But the idea that you can use him kind of everywhere, and you can use him in line and split him out, and you're not going to actually worry about his blocking, which has not been the case with pretty much any tight end in Green Bay in a very long time. I think he's got the chance to be, if not special in the realm of Gronk, because I think that's, you know, Hall of Fame level. You know, I think he could approach Jason Witten level, which is still, I think Jason Witten's going to be a Hall of Famer, but he's obviously not the freak that Gronk is. But I think he could approach that level. And you know, is 12 too early for that? I don't think so. Now, I'm not the one making the determinations of value here, but to me, if you've got, again, a player that's a blue chip player is going to come in and set the standard for a decade, yeah, take him at 12. I don't care if he plays tight end. I don't care if he plays safety. If he's, you know, that, but you've got him rated as the best player available, then yeah, go get him.
Aaron Nagler, CheeseheadTV.com. So they have 12, they have 30. I feel like, yeah, especially before free agency, they're going to take defense. They're going to take an edge rusher. I think, you know, that was written in the stars. They get some of these guys in now via free agency, and there's been such a long time for us to kind of digest. So it's like,
right,
well, what if they took a quarterback, or what if they took a wide receiver, or what if they took a guard? I ultimately still think at 12, if they don't move, they're going to take a guy on defense. Where is your gut feeling right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance. Now, obviously, this all depends on how the board shakes out, right? If you're not just going to take defense to take defense. If there's a offensive player that are there that's far and away higher rated on their board, they should take that guy. But, I mean, yeah, I'm with you. It's funny, too, because after free agency, they did a very good job there as far as kind of leveling the roster talent-wise and making sure they don't have to reach, you know? I think far and away you look at the roster and the biggest hole is at safety still, opposite Adrian Amos. I know Josh Jones is coming back, but he does a lot of the same things Amos does, and you just paid Amos a whole boatload of money. You know Amos is going to be on the field. He needs a running mate. Now, I don't see a safety that's going to be worth a pick at 12. So do they go edge rusher if one of the premier guys falls to them there? Yeah, I know they signed two in free agency, but don't forget, Za'Darius Smith is going to play all over the place. He's not just going to be on the edge. He's going to be inside probably on passing downs as well. So, you know, get your waves of pass rushers. You know, we've seen teams, whether it was the Eagles 2 years ago, the Giants back in the day when they took down Brady a couple times, those teams won because they had waves of guys up front on defense that could just wreak havoc and cause all sorts of problems for the quarterback. And, you know, if that came to Green Bay, I'd be a very happy man.
Okay, safety, one thing, but would they be interested in all in more defensive back help back there?
Yeah, I mean, again, Greedy Williams is a name that you hear pop up as first-round possibility. That's a corner. I would be surprised if they made that selection. You know, they have invested pretty heavily in it in the last obviously, they took two corners last year to start off that draft. They used tons of draft capital in the secondary already. But you can't rule it out. Again, how does the board fall? You know, it might be the fact that they get on the clock and it's just staring at them that this guy, whoever that might be in the secondary, is far and away the best value. You know, they shouldn't dismiss that just because, well, we've used a lot of draft picks back there already. Again, so much of this depends on, you know, how they value where their board is and who is on the board when things happen on the clock, etc. Who makes calls, like who's on the phone, who's offering to move, and blah blah blah. That's why we love it. That's why it's the greatest kind of, you know, reality show going, because all this talk, everything you read online, etc., 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 none of it means anything once the draft starts, and that's why it's so great.
And it will start tonight, and we will have you covered. Our thanks to Aaron Nagler, CheeseheadTV.com, Bill, Gary, Paul Imig, and more. Q Club of Wisconsin tonight, live on the radio and live in person at 6 o'clock. Also, we'll be covered from Green Bay with our own Mike Clemens, who's got the latest from Lambeau Field.
Now, a Chili's Green and Gold update. Brought to you by Chili's 3 for 10. Now, for a limited time, featuring Chili's mouth-watering signature sirloin steak. That's a starter, entree, and drink for just 10 bucks. Together, we Chili's. Here's the fan's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are wrapping up a minicamp being held the week of the draft. New head coach Matt LaFleur says this is the way they've done things after a coaching change when he was with the Rams and last year with the Titans.
You want to get these guys in a routine, and everything for them is new, including the warm-up. It was a good opportunity, a good dry run before we get into before we get into the OTAs.
Now, the NFL draft begins tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll have updates all weekend here at Lambeau Field. One of the players that might be on the board when the Packers are on the clock with the 12th overall pick is Ed Oliver, a 21-year-old defensive lineman out of Houston who's built more like a 10-year NFL veteran. Oliver had 32 reps in the bench press at the Combine and says he's comfortable with whatever defensive scheme Mike Pettine has planned in Green Bay.
A four-down front. If a three-down front team give me two, I'd be happy. Play a little nose, play a little four-eye, but a four-down front, I'd be happy there too. I'm not against playing outside back. Like team said, they want me to work out at outside back. I'm not against that either. Whatever makes the money, that's what I play. I'm a football player, honestly.
The Packers' Mike Daniels says the defensive line is happy to be back to work under Matt LaFleur.
Everything is positive. The energy is good. Everybody's excited to be here. You lose some guys that were some mainstays over the last couple of years. You know, you lose two prominent players one season. Look at it like, Clay. Then you lose Nick. You know, without Tremont, I'm the oldest guy on the defense, and I'm in my eighth year. That doesn't happen often.
For more team coverage, go to 1057fmthefan.com.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. What if the Packers tried to package 12 and 30 to move up? We'll talk to Michael Cohen of The Athletic around 7:20, and also some of the defensive guys who may be wearing green and gold in the future with Michael Cohen. So tonight is the draft, obviously. We've got our coverage. Whether you want to go out there to the Q Club of Wisconsin, hang out with the guys, listen throughout the night, or just pop up the radio.com app when the Packers pick, whatever you want, we've got it for you. The TV coverage this year is a little different. ESPN and NFL Network both have it. I've always been an NFL Network guy. I've loved Mike Mayock, but now he's with the Raiders.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page with Mayock. I like you said, I like him on a Thursday night as an analyst on there. I think he's one of the smartest guys out of all the NFL analysts. Smartest guys. He knows everything about everybody.
The change on TV, though, is going to be last year Fox also aired the draft, and they kind of teamed up with NFL Network. So it was like the same on both of those networks. ABC is going to run the draft coverage. So when you first find out that ABC, you know their connection with ESPN, you think, all right, they're just going to simulcast. No, they're running a completely different broadcast. It's more like family-oriented. So if you want to, I don't know who's going to...
Yeah, how's that going to go over with people?
So ESPN, here's what ESPN's thinking. They're gonna have the... If you want to know about the players and the schemes...
Mm-hmm.
You watch ESPN, but if you're more into the stories and the struggles and how these guys got from wherever they got to now, ABC is going to offer all that for you.
I mean, some of that is interesting, but ultimately, aren't you care about how they're going to fit into the team? I mean, to find out where a player, you know, has come from, you know, maybe a poor childhood or whatever. Yeah, that's some good stuff. But I mean, on draft night, I want to hear about how this quarterback is going to fit in, and when's he getting on the field, or he's going to get on the field, or how this tight end, is he going to play right away with Aaron Rodgers? How's that all going to work in? How are these pieces all going
to
fit?
Well, then don't watch ABC.
I know.
From The Athletic, the ABC side will focus on the player's journey and telling the stories of the players behind the scene. We will not get into the 3-4 scheme like you'll see on ESPN. On ABC, it's going to be about who this player was in college, his journey, and what kind of player they will be. Robin Roberts will be hosting tonight's coverage.
I like the way the format is right now, where you have the first round exclusively to itself, and then second and third round play the next two nights.
And then nobody cares on Saturday?
Yeah, one of those deals. Yeah, but I mean, I think the first two rounds, or first 2 days. I mean, the first round, I like it, is where it's exclusively about the first round. So tomorrow we'll come in, maybe we'll talk about two Packers. Or maybe none, if they move back, but they probably won't do that. But at least one Packer we'll be talking about tomorrow. And I think that's cool. You know, the first day, it's all about the first round. And then, you know, was it second through fourth rounds on Friday night?
Second and third tomorrow.
Okay, second and third. See, I think that's a great breakdown.
Yeah, and then four through seven on Saturday.
Now, the old days was all Saturday, all day Sunday. I mean, those were some long days. But, you know, to break it up into three rounds, three different days like this, God, I think that's a cool idea.
Not to equate everything to drinking, but I liked the Saturday drafts because I was in college, like when Rodgers got drafted,
And so we'd do like a pool, and then you'd have to drink if you were wrong, and then we'd have a kegger. And
then you wake up the next morning, the Packers drafted a quarterback? What?
I'm a mess of a person. It's Chuck and Winkler. More on the NFL draft coming up. Michael Cohen to join us 7:20. Yeah, you don't have to wait that long. Don't go anywhere. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.